Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back, baby. The whole crew together again as we welcome you into this Tuesday edition of the Lombardi Line alongside Michael Lombardi. Stormy Bonantoni with you. So much to talk about today. NBA postseason. NFL is king, as we know. And I'm so thrilled to be back and get into it. Michael, how are we doing today?
We are thrilled to have you back. You know, not that we didn't appreciate Claudia and Femi and Dave Ross for doing yeoman's work and filling in, but who could actually fill in for you, Stormy? I mean, seriously, we just want to know about the Alaskan cruise. We want to know about what was the best thing you ate all cruise. Ooh. Was it the seafood steak or was it too hard to figure out?
It was an amazing trip, first and foremost. So glad. Again, very, very happy to be back, but it was really, really cool. I had never been to Alaska before, and we did a ton of cool activities in Juneau and Sitka and Ketchikan and had a ton of fun food-wise. We did this one excursion, Michael, where we went on a UTV ride, and then after the UTV, we hopped on a little boat cruising down the water to this cannery type thing, and we had this full-blown, like, crab dinner. It was the coolest thing that I have done. That, and we also did a dog sledding tour, which was unbelievable. Have you? So you have better taste in movies than I do, but have you ever seen the movie The Waterboy?
No, with Adam Sandler? Yes. I think I've seen bits and pieces of it, yeah.
Well, the thing that, like, revives him when he gets knocked out on the field in the Bourbon Bowl at the end of the game is this beautiful blue water that he says is water from a glacier in Alaska. And when we were going over the glacier to go dog sledding, there's this super pure blue water, and that was all I could think about. But it was so, so fun. Like I said, and like you said, thank you so much to Femi, Dave, and Claudia for filling in. I'm back, and I'm going to be back for a while now. And a good thing, too, because we got plenty of news to dive into today, Michael, with game after game after game slowly trickling out the first games of each of these big networks. Yesterday, I know you guys found out the first game of the season on Thursday night on NBC. We're going to see the Chiefs and Ravens go head to head. But then we also found out from CBS this morning, Michael, that the Chiefs get to follow up that tough AFC North opponent with another one in week two, taking on the Cincinnati Bengals. I guess the thought process by the league was, yes, we're burning some big games early, but let's not wait until New Year's Eve to see these awesome quarterbacks go head to head and potentially not have them available.
Well, I mean, look, the Chiefs home team, they get two home games to start the season.
Yeah.
I mean, who has it better than them? I mean, you got to love that, right? You get two home games to start. You kind of come out of training camp and you can get yourself into a groove. Look, I think any team that you pair against the AFC North is going to be a good game. I think that's pretty clear, right? And why not put Aaron Rodgers back on Monday night against your 49ers, right? Why not have him go out there and start his season across the country and go from there? And then the first Amazon game, Bills at Dolphins. I mean, at night at least, if you're Buffalo, go to Miami. Hard to do. But when the sun's down, you got a better chance. I know the heat and humidity is going to be a problem, but you'd rather play that at night than you would at 1 o'clock or 4 o'clock in September in the heat and humidity of Miami.
Yeah, Bills swept the Dolphins last season, so I'm sure Miami would like a little bit of redemption. They get to be at home and have that advantage, like you said. And to go back to the Jets 49ers game, Michael, like, Jets fans, take a breath. I hope you were sitting down when you saw that news earlier today that, yes, we are opening up Monday Night Football, ESPN, again, Rodgers. And they're not easing up on this guy at all, coming off an Achilles injury.
No.
Taking on that defense, they're going to be testing that front and that Achilles early.
Yeah, at least, well, now he's on grass, so we're going to find out. You know, we're going to find out how well he can move and how quickly can he move, right? And we're going to see if the Jets offensive line, this rebuilt offensive line, can protect him. We're going to find it out pretty quickly. We're going to find out about the 49ers. Mm-hmm. You know, their defensive line is going through a lot of changes. Their defensive system is going through changes with Nick Sorensen now as the defensive coordinator, where he's talking about simplicity, playing faster, getting more out of his defensive line. So, you know, let's just count the days. We're in off-season week 14. I think we have about 10 more to go before we get into 10 more weeks to go. But we're closing in on it, Stormy, which is exciting. And then, you know, Tom Brady going to open up with the – I thought it was the Bears and the Cowboys. Is it the Browns and the Cowboys?
Browns and the Cowboys, yes.
Wow. Okay, there we go. Dallas has a home opener. I mean, San Francisco gets a home opener. KC gets a home opener. the schedule. Will Hill was pretty nice to these teams to open up at home against the good teams.
Dallas,
we ask him about that, what his thought process was.
Dallas actually is in Cleveland for that one, Michael. But I did love seeing how all of this came out, that's the one game where the game is secondary, maybe even tertiary, to the news that it's going to be Tom Brady's first broadcast with Fox in the booth. Like, how often do you see a game where the marquee is the announcer's name and then you have the little the little letters are the actual teams that are playing in the game? That just shows
how
unique a situation it is, right, that Tom Brady, somebody who is so legendary, is going to be in the booth so quickly after his career is over.
Yeah, I mean, what a good game, though, right? We got the Cleveland defense. We know they've played really well at home. We got Tom Brady's first game, and we get to see where Deshaun Watson is in the offensive structure of this new offense that Cleveland has decided to put in. There's so many great questions, none of which we're going to be able to get answered in the preseason, because we know these teams, a lot of them, don't prepare for the preseason. But knowing the Bengals have the Chiefs in week two on the road, right? I said this yesterday when Elliott had Joe Burrow come in my office. I'm like, look, Joe, you got to get that team to want to play early in the season well, because I don't think you can fall behind against these teams. And look, let's be clear here too. Kansas City playing the Ravens and Cincinnati, two teams we think will make the playoffs. That tiebreaker is going to come into play early. Like, you just can't dismiss that, right? You know, you can't dismiss those games. I know it's a long season. I understand all that. But they have some relevance, whereas Aaron Rodgers against San Francisco, that's not going to be convoluted into the tiebreaker or have any significance there.
Yeah, that was my first thought for those first two games of the season, that we have these marquee games early that are all going to come down and be really, really important in the standings later on in the year because of those tiebreaker scenarios, just as you said. And the Chiefs, defending Super Bowl champs, even if they go down, let's say, hypothetically, 0-2 first 2 weeks of the season, knowing what they've done each of the last 2 years, when you count them out and then they just end up going on this remarkable run, down 0-2, I feel like if you're a Kansas City fan, you're still not even scared at that point, as the Chiefs are the favorite to be the first three-peat Super Bowl champions in NFL history. Let me hit you with these spreads really quickly before we move on. For that season opener, the Chiefs are a three-point favorite hosting the Ravens. The Eagles, a 1.5-point favorite that Friday game against the Packers. The Browns laying one hosting the Cowboys. San Francisco, the largest favorite of the numbers that we have out here so far, -5.5 hosting the Jets. The Dolphins laying one against the Bills, and the Chiefs -4 week two against the Bengals. Any of those numbers stand out to you specifically, Michael?
I would really lean against the Chiefs in the beginning of the season because it's a long season. And look, I know that, you know, everybody just assumes they're going to get it back to where they were, a level of play, but are they really improved in the receiver room? Hollywood Brown, Rashee Rice, we know has got a chance to get suspended significantly. Mm. Kadarius Toney, we know there's a good chance he's going to not show up or be injured or not there. So that leaves Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy. Are they really good in that receiver room? And who's their left tackle? Like, I think the Chiefs have significant questions still, and especially at corner. You know, especially at corner where, you know, are they, without Snead back there, are they going to be able to hold up? Is Williams going to be able to hold up at corner? And Watson, you know, McDuffie's the slot corner. So I think I'd rather play the Chiefs early in the season, knowing that they kind of had their bellies full of fancy food and wine and celebrating all this. And then where they really don't know who they are quite yet in terms of what they have to do with their team. Because if they start the year off thinking that they can throw it around the lot like they want to do, they're going to end up losing to it like they did to Detroit at home. And I think it's going to take some time for them to get this worked out.
No question about it. Great point there. We will have the full schedule release coming out, unveiled tomorrow night. We'll see if any more games trickle out, if we see any leaks between this show and tomorrow, ahead of that evening release tomorrow. And make sure as well you watch along the VSiN Primetime Schedule Release special that we'll have right here on VSiN. Tim Murray and JVT giving you instant betting analysis on VSiN and DraftKings Network, because as soon as those games are revealed and each schedule comes out, we're going to have numbers.
That's what I wanted to ask you. Were you surprised immediately when we learned about Kansas City playing Baltimore? You know, the line jumped from it opened at 49.5, and I think it's back at 47.5. It went right down right away. And I think, to me, as you know, having done this your whole life, that's professional money coming in on that. They didn't think the under. And I think for good reason, because Baltimore's going to slow the game down with their run game. They're going to run the ball. And B, because they have Derrick Henry. And I'm not sure Kansas City's going to be explosive. Mm-hmm. I really am not. I don't, you know, Kansas City thinking they're going to score 30 a game, I just don't see it with their offense, the way they're going to have to play. So I wasn't surprised by that. I was really taken back by the Dolphins being a favorite against Buffalo. I know they're home, and typically, you know, that game would be different. But you got to believe Buffalo with where they were and where they left off with Josh Allen and the uncertainty of Miami's defense, because it's all going to be new. See, when you're playing a new coordinator like Miami, Anthony Weaver along with Joe Barry, I think that favors the team that has continuity.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Both of those teams have major question marks for me this year. That division that went from us perceiving them as one of the best in all of football looks very, very different right now. So that'll be an interesting one. And to your point just about these numbers coming out and how lines move immediately, how good are these odds makers to have them out and ready? And the action that we're going to have tomorrow night, all 272 games, as soon as we know what they are, we're going to get those posted on DraftKings, which is makes it more fun for all of us to get that underway. We are going to hit the break here real quickly, our first time out of the day. When we come back, in addition to all of these NFL schedule releases that we have upon us, we also saw a new deal get done in Detroit. We saw Amon-Ra St. Brown and Penei Sewell get paid. Jared Goff got paid yesterday, and plenty of NBA postseason action to get to too, Michael. Although I know you're very, very sad that we can't commiserate about the 76ers anymore, unfortunately.
No more Sixer. We're good. I'm completely fine with that. I've accepted it.
Right.
Although I haven't accepted Mavericks free throw shooting. That was harsh on me last night. You know, can we make a free throw, Stormy, please?
That would be nice. I'm sure they would appreciate it, because maybe they wouldn't have blown the 14-point second half lead, which we will dissect when we return on the Lombardi Line.
Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are in the heart of the PGA Tour season, and if you're looking for an in-depth preview of the PGA Championship coming up with VSiN's golf betting experts, you got to check out the Long Shots podcast. Wes Reynolds, Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin, they're all breaking down each and every aspect of this year's second golf major, including, of course, their best bets. Subscribe and download to the podcast with the new episode out Tuesday, or check the live airing out on VSiN Wednesday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni back with you. And in addition to all of the NFL schedule release action that has been trickling out over the last 24 hours, we will have that full release coming up tomorrow night. We also found out a deal got done for Jared Goff, a four-year extension, Michael, with Detroit. Adam Schefter first reporting yesterday. The deal's worth $212 million, $170 guaranteed. We don't know the true numbers yet, but on the surface, $53 million in average annual value. It is a hefty price for Jared Goff, no doubt, Michael. But when the salary cap goes up, the price tag goes up as well.
Sure. Yeah, no question. And look, this is an interesting – it'll be interesting to see the contract spread. They had the first-year cap number. And what really is more interesting, and I don't think it's going to affect this team, because I think what the Lions have done a nice job of paying the players in the right order. And obviously having the quarterback make this much money, it's just part of doing business in the NFL. And, you know, at $53 million a year, is Jared Goff the second best or should be the second highest paid quarterback in the league? No. But they have a really good offensive line. They maximize his skill set, and they know what they have in the player. I just wonder what Hayden Hooker's thinking now when they drafted him. I thought maybe they were going to move towards him as a replacement, but now he's going to have to make his hay as a backup and fill in. We'll see if he does that. Remember last year, Stormy, during the draft, he was talked about being a first-round pick?
Yeah. Hendon Hooker, of course, out of Tennessee, he was talked about glowingly, Michael, yes.
Right. So, you know, you have him here. No team clearly has the guts to transition from quarterback when the price tag gets too high. I thought maybe Detroit might have thought Hooker was good enough to do that, but obviously given this deal to Goff, and their window is this window is the Goff window, which is understandable, correct, clearly. So good for him, good for St. Brown, good for Sewell. They've got their team together. Now they know their cap for the next 3 years. I mean, I think that's the other key part of this deal is that, you know, other than Hutchinson, who else do they need to sign? You know, who else is going to be big on that? That's not a replaceable part. I think that's kind of where they are, and they can move from here.
And you talk about that Super Bowl window, Michael, looking back to 2 years ago when they closed out the season, winning 8 of their last 10 games. They carry that into last year where they have a 12-win regular season. They win their first playoff game in 32 years. And now going into this season, there's a different level of expectation than this franchise has had in a really, really long time. Mm-hmm. Is that something that, like, if you're a Detroit Lions fan or somebody that is interested in backing some of their futures, is that something that would concern you at this point? That their guys are getting paid and they have expectations.
Yeah, now they have to raise their level. The coaches, you know, we always say the players have to raise their level. Well, the coaches do too, right? So everybody in the organization has to raise their level. And I think they've improved their team. There's no question. When you look over the offseason moves that they made and everything that they've done, I think Detroit has done a nice job of improving their football team, especially attacking the areas through free agency and through the draft of what they need. But they're no longer going to be taken lightly. They are going to be the hunted one, and they're in a division that has good teams. Green Bay is a good team. Will Chicago improve? We'll see about their offensive line. Minnesota, they're a little bit of an iffy one because we're not sure if Darnold's going to be good enough at quarterback or is J.J. McCarthy. But look, we know the North will be tough for all those games. So, yeah, I think you have to raise your level of play. And the NFC's no walk in the park. I mean, Philly, Detroit, San Francisco, all good teams.
Because you mentioned J.J. McCarthy, we're going to have some fun listening to a lot of the sound bites that have come out of rookie minicamp over the weekend. Later on in the show, a little GM translator we'll have some fun with. Also coming up still here on the Lombardi Line in a few minutes, we'll have VSiN's own Will Hill. And top of hour two, Chuck Pagano is going to join us, former Indianapolis Colts head coach, longtime defensive coordinator. But to stay on that theme, before we move on real quickly, just to give you the odds layout for the Detroit Lions going into next season. After that 12-win season, win total set at 10.5. They are a plus 150 NFC North favorite, minus 225 now to be a playoff team. Again, like the expectations, very, very different. In the NFC, plus 550, second only to the San Francisco 49ers, and a 12-1 shot in the Super Bowl odds. Okay, let's get to some NBA, Michael, because you were yelling about free throws before we hit the break. What the heck happened to the Mavericks down the stretch last night?
Oh, my God. I mean, Kyrie only scores 9 points, right? Luka's 6 for 20 from the field. He only goes to the line 6 times. Look, they're mugging him and they're getting away with it, right? The Thunder only miss one free throw in 24 attempts, and the Mavs miss 11, and they have 13 turnovers. I mean, they held the Thunder. Like, I felt like they would win this game because, you know, they could hold. They were playing good enough defense. The Thunder shoots 38% and wins. Mm. But look, when you miss free throws, when you miss those and you can't make them at the line, and you, one of your second best player has 9 points and your best player is 6 for 20 from the floor, and you had a chance to win, I don't think I'd be down about that. I think, look, we're better. I think they lost, but I think there could be a sense of confidence that we're better than this team if we just make our free throws and get our best players to play at a higher level.
They were up as many as 14 in the second half at home, an opportunity to go up 3-1, squandered. Series now tied at 2, final score 100-96. Mavericks falling as a 1.5-point favorite. The total still stays way under that 215.5 that was getting a lot of money to the over. And holy SGA, unbelievable game for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, yeah, who was doing it all when his teammates were not giving him the support he needed, except for like the last moments of the game. 34 points. Speaking of three free throws, he hit all 6 of his. 3 critical assists in the final 3 minutes. That said, your comments on the confidence Dallas should have that they are the better team, Luka Doncic said as most in his postgame. Take a listen.
No concern. We just got to be ready. You know, we got to play hard like we did tonight. I think we played really hard. Big energy today. But like I said, some details, cost us the game. And we just got to be ready again. And obviously, it's going to be hard on the road, but we've done it before. We can do it again.
And they have done it before. They beat the Thunder in the Paycom Center in Game 2. They won 2 road games against the Clippers in the first round. And now, though, Michael, because they lose that opportunity to go up 3-1, their dog here in this series still plus 130 to the Thunder's minus 155 in the set.
I think I would take them. I really do. I think, you know, the more I watch it, look, SGA's great. Let's get that, you know. But to me, They've got to figure out a way to get Luka where he's not 6-for-20. And I know he's beat up, and they're beating him up. Dort is really being physical. They're moving him around. But they got to get Kyrie. Kyrie can take over the game, and he's one of the best one-on-one players in the league. For him to have 9 points and you had a chance to win the game, that tells you if he can play a normal game and get back to it. And then, you know, look, free throws are tough. You know, when you miss as many as they missed in that game, and this has been the trend, right? Last game they almost lost because they were missing free throws, keeping the Thunder in the game, and then Lively made 3 or 4 in a row that really sealed the game. So, you know, free, I don't know what you do about it, but that's the cause of the game. You turn the ball over, you miss free throws. That's why 14-point leads evaporate.
12-for-23 from the line. OKC, as you referenced earlier, 23 of 24 from the stripe. Kyrie Irving, that's his second game of this series where he's only had single-digit points, so he does need to get it in gear. PJ Washington can't be your second leading scorer. Considering the two of them, Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic, when they were on the court together in the regular season, were averaging, what, like just shy of 60 points per game together, and it's been a very, very different series for them. Also last night, Michael, we saw Boston take a 3-1 lead over the Cleveland Cavaliers, who were, of course, without Donovan Mitchell and Jarrett Allen. They win 109-102, but don't cover the 8.5, Michael. And it was a tough beat if you were Boston because, well, yeah, the Cleveland definitely deserved to cover in that spot. But you have Caris LeVert at the end of the game with just a throwaway shot after Jason Tatum makes those free throws to get you in cover territory. Tough one if you laid it with Boston there.
Oh, yeah, really a tough one. And, you know, yesterday on the show, I thought I was disappointed at Boston. You know, when we were on the show yesterday, there was not any indication that Donovan Mitchell was going to miss the game. And the line was 8.5. It had come down. And so I thought 8.5 was a good number. And I don't know what it closed at, Stormy. I'm sure it had to close over 10, right?
11.5 is where we ended up closing.
Yeah, I figured it would have. So, you know, my feeling was, you know, for them not to cover this, Boston is, and we kept saying it, Boston just doesn't seem to have that put teams away killer instinct. Like, get your foot on them and take care of business. And I think if the Knicks prevail, which is going to be a question as we start this game tonight, that Knicks team, you're going to have to put your foot on their throat and kill them. They're not going to go away quietly. Like tonight, they're not going to go away. Everybody thinks the Knicks are going to be tired. I don't think so. I think the Knicks are going to play.
Well, and we will preview that game, both games coming up in the NBA tonight with Will Hill when he joins us next. The Celtics, though, speaking of, are you going to close this thing out strong, laying 15.5 against the Cavaliers at home coming up tomorrow in a potential closeout game? We'll be right back. So much more to come on the Lombardi Line. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Now we here at the Lombardi Line, we want to help you out. And for a limited time only, we're offering our VSiN annual subscription at the best price you're going to get. It's usually $240. Now you can grab a subscription for just $199. Sign up today. We'll also give you an extra 2 months for free. So that's 14 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day. That's all when you use the promo code Lombardi. With VSiN Pro, you'll gain instant access to our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see who has the best win percentage and ROI, 19 hours of live programming, including expert breakdowns and in-game analysis, proven betting systems from professional handicappers, as well as our exclusive betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for each and every game. VSiN.com/subscribe is how you can sign up. Get your 14 months of VSiN Pro for $199, but you have to use our promo code Lombardi, L-O-M-B-A-R-D-I, VSiN.com/subscribe. We are back here on the Lombardi Line with the deal of all deals, and now we are about to welcome in the guest of all guests, VSiN's own Will Hill, host of the Shoulda Bet More podcast. You can also catch him on Fox Sports Bear Bets podcast with Chris Velika, joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. And in the commercial break right before we came in, Michael was already giving you grief about, wow, you made time for us today despite how busy you've been with the schedule and managing teams and all that.
What's going on? Good to see you. Happy you're back, Stormy. What's up?
Michael, now it's your turn. You've got to give him the heat.
What do you mean, what's up? I mean, I mean, look, he's, you know, work. Thank you for getting the schedule out, trickling it down. What was your reaction? I mean, what made you give Kansas City two home games to start the season? I'd love to know that. Like, that seems like an advantage to a really good team.
I mean, they're going to have to play the road games at some point eventually. So you can look at it the other way and say, hey, it's backloaded and you better bank those wins early because you're playing on the road at some point. I was torn between, you know, which Harbaugh they were going to play on that opening night. I thought maybe they'd face Jim. I thought that would be a fun storyline, Chargers Chiefs. But look, whoever's on will watch it. It's exciting. What I noticed about the schedule, a couple things. If you notice that Saturday before Christmas is always an NFL triple header. Well, college started to trickle into their territory and they're putting their college football playoff games on that Saturday. I think it's December 21st. And the NFL is not blinking. The NFL is going to leave their game. So that's a little bit of a, you know, I've compared the NFL to Marlon, man. You try to get on their corner. They're not going to just give you their corner and say, hey, take whatever you want. They're going to fight back and, you know, they're going to come back at you. So that'll be an interesting war for that territory as these college footballs start to expand here.
Speaking of the Harbaughs, I'm kind of hoping that maybe we get a Ravens-Chargers Thanksgiving again, like we kind of had the Thanksgiving Harbaugh when Jim was with the 49ers. I think that would be sweet. So we'll see what the schedule makers or Will Hill's lackeys ultimately end up putting together. But speaking of those Chiefs home games, you actually already have a play or have a wager that you like in one of them. What did you bet?
Yeah, I think this opened up 3.5. It's still at 3. I just think these are relatively even teams. Maybe the Chiefs are better by half a point, and home field's not worth 3. So, and you throw in the revenge angle with the Ravens, I think the +3, not sure that you'll get that by the time kickoff gets here. And look, we've seen the Chiefs kind of go through the motions a little bit early in the season, really throughout the entire season. So I think Baltimore will be out for blood. And Baltimore is one of the few teams, and we talk about these teams not playing during the preseason. Baltimore is one of the few teams they take the preseason very seriously. They did have that winning streak snapped at the end of last preseason against Washington. I think it was on that Monday night. But Baltimore plays hard during preseason, at least when they, you know, play their guy for a little bit. So I'll take the +3 here. I think these are relatively even teams.
Were you surprised the line opened at 49.5 and it moved right down right away?
No, I mean, I think that's probably, again, these teams not playing in preseason, just not being sharp. And you mentioned, like, Baltimore, they're going to play a ball control type of offense. And, you know, Kansas City, remember, Kansas City was an under team last year. Good on defense, not very explosive on offense. So the Chiefs lived on a reputation for a while as just being this over team, this offensive team, where really they're, you know, it was Mahomes, it was ball control, and it was defense. So I think that 49.5 was probably a bad number.
Well, we'll have plenty of time to preview all of those games as the season gets closer, but we have playoff action going on right now in the NHL and NBA. Last night, by the way, between the two sports, road teams swept the board 4-0. In the NBA tonight, we have one set where a road team has yet to win in Pacers-Knicks and one set where a home team has yet to win in Nuggets and Timberwolves. Which one of these series or which one of these games are you looking at more closely in tonight?
Yeah, it's interesting. We got to have a bunch of even series, a bunch of 2-2 series. Boston, Cleveland's obviously over, but the series have been good, but the games themselves really haven't been good, other than, you know, some Knicks games here and there. The games night to night haven't been great. That being said, I heard you guys before the break. I agree with Lombardi. I think the Knicks will bounce back. I think it's easy to forget. They were pretty close to going up 3-0. I think they were 93-85 on Friday night. Let that game get away, and then they got absolutely blown out Sunday. They had no leg. They were all their shots were short, as Breen was pointing out. I think they got a little more time between games now. Remember that game 3 to game 4, that was a quick turnaround from Friday night to Sunday afternoon. Now you get a little bit of a longer turnaround. They could take off most of the second half. There was no intensity, even though, you know, Thibodeau had his guys in there, still down 40 points. Brunson, DiVincenzo, they're still in the game, which makes no sense to me. But I think the Knicks will bounce back. I think the crowd will help them play better. I think you'll see a better Knicks effort tonight. I like the Knicks tonight. I think they're being written off a little too quickly. I do worry. Nimhart's been guarding Brunson early in the series. Yeah. That didn't work out. They finally switched to Nesmith guarding him. Is Nesmith doing a good job because he's doing a good job, or is Brunson just hurt and tired? That I don't know, but I think we'll see a better effort here from the Knicks tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned it to Thibodeau that you were unhappy with that. He only played 31 minutes, so, and Hart only played 24, and Hartenstein played 22. I don't know. Somebody's got to play something, right? So, all right, let's go to Minnesota and Denver. I was a little surprised that Minnesota defensively wasn't very good to allow the Nuggets to shoot over 50%. Gordon misses just one shot. What do you see defensively from Minnesota that they're not doing?
Yeah, I just think Denver is so good on offense. And look, it's the old saying in basketball, good offense beats good defense. And Jokic just gets him a good shot every time down. Every time Minnesota had a little run, a little mini run in that second half on Sunday, Denver just had an answer, whether it was Jokic, whether it was Christian Brown making big shots. You mentioned Gordon's been unbelievable. I just don't know that that level of offense is sustainable for Denver. So I like the under tonight. And I just think, you know, game sevens are always are usually an under. That's usually a good trend to bet the under. Game five, when it's 2-2, is almost like a mini game seven where, hey, if it's 2-2, the winner of game five is 80-something% to win the series. So I like the under here. I think Minnesota's really shown some flaws on offense. Outside of Edwards, they haven't gotten a lot. Towns has been bad. Gobert is just a non-factor. I'll go under here. Should be a good game. I would think Denver figures out a way to win the series. I picked Denver in seven. Then when it was 2-0, I figured Denver was dead. So this has been a very strange series. Very hard to get a handle on it. But I do figure Denver figures out a way to get 2 out of 3, but I like the under.
Yeah, worth noting, the Nuggets are the seventh team in NBA history to tie a series 2-2 after losing their first two games at home. Of the previous six teams to do so, five went on to win the series. Denver minus 165 in the set moving forward. As far as what we saw last night, when we look at what happened in that OKC Mavericks game, what was your big takeaway, and how does that impact the way that you view the game coming up tomorrow?
I think OKC wins the series. I think Dallas is going to spend all summer thinking about that second half, that last, 6 or 7 minutes? I mean, they're up 14 in the second half. They're up 7 with 6 minutes to go. They missed 10 free throws in the second half. And to me, the reason I like OKC, first of all, I mean, tied 2-2 and you got 2 out of 3 games in OKC. I know, you know, they split the home games each way. Luka just doesn't look healthy. He just doesn't look healthy. And he misses a lot of free throws. For somebody who's so great on offense, he's not a great free throw shooter. With his ability to put the ball in the basket, guys like that usually, you know, 85%+ from the foul line. He missed a bunch of them. And he just looks banged up. Kyrie hasn't given them a lot. I just think they let one slip through their fingers. I think if they went up 3-1, the series would have been over. When you shoot 8 of 18 from the foul line in the second half, and look, OKC didn't even shoot the ball well, 27% from three. So I think they let the game get away. I think they might have let the series get away. And look, I know Luka's a great player, and he really is. He never stops complaining. You could say, hey, he got mugged, Dort's all over him. If it were up to Luka, if Luka was reffing the game, he'd shoot 135 free throws. He thinks he should shoot 2 free throws every time down. He never stops.
Don't you think he's hard to officiate, though? He's a big man, right?
He is
a big man. I think he's one of those guys who's hard to officiate. And I think Dort should have fouled out in the first quarter on Saturday. Like, I think he doesn't get any calls. I think in talking to people in the league, they think SGA gets every call. And they changed the rules, or they told the teams they're going to allow the clear path is defenders allowed to be there, and they're not going to call that. But for Alexander, they seem to. I just think, to me, he's a hard player to officiate. But you're right, Will. If you want to go the line, you got to make them.
Yeah, you got to make them. And I wonder if his reputation started to hurt him too, where the ref's like, hey, I'm not going to give him the benefit of the doubt because I can't stand him, because all he does is yell at me the entire game. And it really is over the top with him.
Well, that probably becomes a distraction if you're boo-hooing more than you're playing and locked in, right? Last thing here, we've got about 60 seconds to go. Celtics take a 3-1 lead over the Cavaliers. They're now minus 135 to win an NBA title. How are you feeling about Boston at this point?
I mean, this path to the finals is a joke. Maybe the Knicks can get healthy and give them a series. Maybe if it's Indy in the conference finals, that might be the worst conference finals team of my lifetime. If it does end up being the Pacers. Hawks had a bad team 2 years ago, but I just don't know that the Knicks will be healthy enough to compete with them. I mean, you basically got 3 byes into the finals. So I still don't trust them in big spots. You saw last night and you've seen in the past, they don't have that killer instinct to put teams away. But they're going to be in the finals here. Nobody in the East is beating them.
Hey, Will, I know it's a very chaotic time of year for you, as always, but thank you for your time.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks for all your help. Thank you, Will.
No problem.
Will Hill, the absolute best. Follow him on X at not the Will Hill, as well as the host of the Shoulda Bet More podcast, which you can download wherever you get your podcast. Great episodes each and every week. Great guests as well. We are going to hit the break here. When we come back, I am particularly excited for this next segment. GM translator reading between the lines of a lot of the sound that came out of rookie minicamp over the weekend. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sound the trumpets. It's horse racing time. So saddle up for action with DK Horse, an official DraftKings affiliate. Right now, new customers who download the DK Horse app can get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250 as long as you use the promo code VSINHORSE, all one word, VSINHORSE. Just deposit $25 or more and complete the playthrough requirement. Wager on your favorite horses, then watch the races live right there in the app. Download the DK Horse app now. You better do it soon. Second leg of the Triple Crown, the Preakness at Pimlico, coming up, Michael. And I've already been doing my research on which names will be best. And I was thrilled to find out that after Mugatu had to be scratched last week in the Kentucky Derby, we're getting him in the Preakness, 20-1, baby. I'm ready to go.
And that's why everybody should use the Lombardi line code, and they should go in there and get Mike Somwich and everybody on VSiN.com to come in and help them, because it's hard to, you know, these one thing in talking to people that are in the horse racing business, you know, it's a whole process. It's like handicapping games. I mean, the berths and the times and the track and all those things. And if you just want to bet names, then obviously you won't need the VSiN guides. But if you want to do it seriously and make some pizza money, as you say, I think it's really a great investment. All analysts have outside sources for information, and I think that's really important.
Yeah, you got to have a guy. And our guy on the Lombardi
gotta
line.
Have a guy, Stormy. You got a stake guy. You got to have an information guy. You got to have a hotel guy. You got to have it all.
No question about it. And our guy, to your point, is going to be Mike Somwich, who will join us on the program this week, give out his best bets for the Preakness. He is all about those exacta boxes, trifecta. We're going to have fun with it later on this week when he joins us. But for now, let's stick to the NFL because it is, we have NFL rookie minicamps underway. We're hearing a lot of sound from the podium come through from head coaches, and particularly these rookie quarterbacks that everybody wants to hear about, as so many of them ended up being picked in the top 12 of this year's NFL draft. I need your help, though, to help read through the lines. And we do a segment on the show usually called News or Noise. Today, this is GM Translator. Let's dissect what some of these guys are saying, starting with Michael Penix Jr. Here he is on handling his unique role alongside Kirk Cousins.
I mean, we're on the same team. You know, it's not hard to approach that relationship. You know, we got the same goals, and that's seeing this team win football games. So, you know, for me, it's just, you know, just being able to, you know, connect with him, you know, get to know him as a not just a player, but as a person as well. You know, so I look forward to that, and, you know, it's definitely going to be great. You know, I'm super, super blessed to be able to be, you know, right here in this position right now. You know, obviously with a veteran in front of me right now, and just learning from him, and, you know, just going about my business teaching every day, trying to find ways to improve and, you know, get to where he is, you know, multiple years in the league. So that's what I want.
Certainly saying all the right things, Michael. And I think it's good too, like, for as much as we wish that we were seeing Michael Penix on a team and in a position where he would play right away, he is going to have a really good, solid guy to get to learn behind and watch play.
Right. But what I think he's saying there is, he's had in that conversation, there's two really things he's saying. He likes Kirk as a player, but he understands that, you know, he's going to learn from him, but he's got to compete. And I think here's the biggest difference, Stormy. And here's where every NFL team has to address this. Michael Penix, up until NIL came in, was an amateur, and now he's a professional. And so what you have to understand is amateurs focus on dividing the pie, which means they're all in it for the good of the team. Professionals focus on growing the pie. They got to win. I'm going to help my team win, you know. And even though he claims they're both on the same team, somebody's got to help the team win. And when you're an amateur, you'll let someone else do it. But when you're a pro, you want to do it.
And I think it's going to be a very interesting balancing act from Raheem Morris in this spot, where you're talking to Kirk Cousins and you're saying, hey, you're our guy, we believe in you, but you're also having several conversations with Michael Penix Jr. saying, be ready. Like, if anything happens, we're going to need you to step in, and we're going to need you to win games and be the guy. So it's very interesting. And especially, like, we've talked about this before on the show, Michael, you've made the point numerous times in training camp and in some of these camps, Michael Penix Jr. is fully healthy. We're going to be seeing some awesome throws from him. And you have Kirk Cousins, who's coming off an Achilles, and he's going to be a little bit more slow starting.
Stormy, we drafted Jimmy Garoppolo in the second round, okay? And he played okay in the preseason, probably better than he practiced, but he played okay. When we walked off the field against the Kansas City Chiefs after getting smoked and had Cincinnati on Sunday night, there were people calling for Garoppolo to be the starter. And I don't know if you remember, but the starter at that time was a man by the name of Tom Brady. Okay. Oh,
heard of him.
They were calling. It wasn't Tom Brady who had three Super Bowls around his belt. It wasn't someone else. Right. So like, if that situation could happen in New England, what could happen in World Champion City of Atlanta with Super Bowl winning GM, you know, Terry Fontenot and Kaiser Sose McKay? I mean, like, how are they going to handle this? They've had so many wins down there that, of course, it's going to blow up.
That is never going to get old for me. We have more sound, though, that I want to get you to unpack here, Michael. Okay. Number one overall pick, Caleb Williams, was asked about his approach to leadership now that Matt Eberflus has already named him QB1 for the season. Here's Caleb.
To be a great leader, you got to learn how to follow first. So right now I'm following all the vets. I'm following all the coaches. I'm listening, you know, having both ears open and my mouth shut, you know, just kind of sitting back listening. And then, you know, when I get to the point of you know, when I learn everything, when I learn the ways of how we do it, the culture, the playbook, and what the offensive line, wide receivers are all doing, running backs and tight ends and things like that, then you can start taking the lead. Then you can start taking the helms of all of it and take the next steps. For right now, though, I'm listening more than I'm speaking and talking, and I'm taking it one step at a time, being the moment.
A very mature-sounding Caleb Williams, Michael. What'd you take away?
Yeah, really, really. Really good to see. I think, you know, again, let's stay on this theme, amateur professional, because they're changing. You know, amateurs show up to practice to have fun. Professionals show up to realize practice is about what happens in the game happens in practice. And so there lies the difference. And yeah, he needs to collect data and find his way around and focus on what he hears. But at some point, what he has to do is pass wisdom on to others. And that's how he's going to gain leadership and come in through the clutch. And they got to believe in him, right? That he's got to develop trust in that huddle. Like, it's a minute to go in the game. We're down by four. We need a touchdown. It's rain. It's cold. I got this. I'm calm. I'm collected. We'll make it happen.
I also did like, by the way, like, in addition to everything that he's saying, that we're not having any questions and fake, like, oh, he's got to earn the job. Like, no, you drafted him as the number one overall pick. You have Tyson Bagent, yep. Brett Rippon in your room. It's Caleb Williams. We all know it's Caleb Williams. So give him the reins and give him this opportunity, as he said there, to learn about leadership and then become his own leader of this team from day one. Now, in Denver, Sean Payton got his guy, drafting Bo Nix in the top 12 of the draft. What has Nix shown his new head coach so far at rookie minicamp? Here's Payton.
It's almost like watching a good golfer. You know, sometimes when you watch his game over 2 years, you just... there's a patience to how he plays. The ball comes out, and I don't want to use the term boring. That's not the right term, but pretty good decisions. And with each play, the efficiency and how he's operating, all of that.
Michael, he didn't want to use the word boring because he sees it as a compliment. Like, boring is good for Sean Payton. Bo Nix is doing what he wants.
You're damn right. Yeah, you could just tell. Now, look, I think Sean is saying there in my GM translator is, I got exactly what I thought I was going to get.
Yeah.
And that's really important. Like, here's one thing you want to do as an executive in the league or as a coach. You want to go out on the first rookie camp and you want to have symmetry. You want to see that the first rounder is a first rounder. The second rounder is the second best player. The third rounder is the third best. What you don't want is some college free agent look better than the first round pick. Okay? But you don't want that. And so then you want to be able to say, what we scouted is what we got. Because scouting is about learning more about the players before you draft them than after you draft them. And I think what Sean's very clearly saying in that conversation there is he's exactly what I thought he was. So lay off me, take a step back, and I'll make this thing go. And all you experts who gave us C minuses and said we didn't, you're going to eat your words in 2 years.
I love that. And it also seemed to, we got to the point with Russell Wilson where when he would talk about the quarterback situation, he had kind of a smirk on his face about it. And with Bo Nix, at least early on, early impressions, he's got a little bit of a new glow. He's feeling good about his situation right now in Denver.
Yeah. It's like he's talking about a new girlfriend that he's really in love with. You could feel it, right? I mean, it all comes back to that, right, Stormy?
We've gone on those first couple dates. Everything's looking good. Who knew we had so much in common? We're going to hit the break. We'll be right back, resetting for hour two of the Lombardi Line.